Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, Eve Ensler coming up on the show tomorrow, the writer and activist most famous for the Vagina Monologues, has a new memoir, Eve Ensler, on tomorrow's show. We're pleased to have in the studio right now the acclaimed Chilean author, Isabel Allende, long a U.S. citizen. Her latest book, Maya's Notebook, has just come out in English after being a bestseller in Spanish for a few years now. Hello, it is so nice to meet you in person. You've been on the show by phone a couple of times, and it's so nice to see you
here
in New York.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your main character in this novel, 19-year-old Maya Vidal, is escaping a downward spiral through drugs and prostitution and crime and going far south in Chile to the ends of the world, really, to hide and to find herself. Her notebook or diary is actually the novel we're reading. And I read that your own grandchildren were the inspiration for this book. So let me start by asking, what did you watch some of your grandchildren go through? Was there a true story that influenced this work of fiction?
Yes, but not my grandchildren. At the time when I wrote the book, I was surrounded by teenagers. So it was wonderful to hear their voices and see what they are doing and the dangers that they confront. Fortunately, they are all now in college safe. But I have three stepchildren, the three of them addicted. Two of them have already died, one of them recently, 4 weeks ago. So I have seen the horror of addiction and what it does to the person and to people around. So I didn't have to, unfortunately, research for that part of the book.
Unfortunately.
And I was always scared that something like that could happen to my grandchildren.
And the protagonist, Maya, has a Danish mother and a Chilean father and grandmother. Her grandfather is African American. Is this the new modern American family you've created on purpose, part Hispanic, part African American, and not at all the traditional model of a nuclear family?
But what is the nuclear family? I don't think we have any more nuclear families. All families are now different. There's so much diversity, so many possible combinations. When I came to this country, I didn't have a family. I had to put it together, create an extended family, a little tribe, with people who are not blood related, and of course they're not all the same color.
And Maya's own grandmother, Nini, is this tough Chilean woman who has found a home in California. Is she you?
Of course. She's short and mean.
You're short and mean?
Yeah.
And this isn't a historical novel. It's contemporary. But those looking for history will find it in Nini's backstory. She left Chile after the coup led by Augusto Pinochet that overthrew President Salvador Allende's government. Many of our listeners know that your father was Allende's first cousin. Why was it important to you to work that history into this novel that is otherwise so modern?
Well, when the girl goes to live in Chiloé, she knows that she has some Chilean blood because of her father and her grandmother, but she knows nothing about the country. And when she gets there to that island, she never hears about the story of the country. But there's a sense, there is some secrets, things that are not spoken. And because she's living in the house of a man that she's very curious about, she starts digging into the past of that man and discovers that he had been a victim of repression during the time of the dictatorship. And she uncovers the past of this man and the past of the country. And it was important for me to write about that because I don't want anybody to think that the island in the south of Chile is paradise. It isn't.
And this island, Chiloé, is that ends of the earth place that she goes thinking she's getting away from it all, but then she learns about the national history.
Yes.
You know, last weekend I saw the movie version of Salman Rushdie's novel Midnight's Children.
Was it good?
Which was very good, and it includes, the main character born at the moment
of the liberation.
Yes, that India becomes independent from Britain, and therefore he had a special destiny, reflecting the changing times in a unique way. And I wonder if you mean to portray at least that male character in that way.
No. I wasn't thinking at all in something like that. But the character of Manuel, that person, I didn't have to invent him. I have a friend who went through that. So I just wrote his story.
Since this book was first published in Spanish, Were you cognizant of having this very American teenager as your lead character, a pierced, tattooed young woman who was left rehab after losing her way in Las Vegas, introduced to a Latin American or European Spanish-reading audience? And on the flip side, are you thinking about an American audience reading about Chile's history and learning from it?
You know, when I write, I don't think of a particular audience. I don't want to deliver a message. I just want to tell a story. Now, what happens between the lines, I have no idea. How this will be received by a Spanish-speaking audience or by an American audience, I don't know. But I hope that young people will read the book because it's about them. It's about what can happen to anyone. And it is about addiction and about drugs and alcohol and all the things that happen to kids today. And although there's no message, when I find myself talking about addiction a lot because people ask. The only thing that I can say about this is that there's nothing that we parents or grandparents really can do. But the society could do so much. First, we have to decriminalize drugs. Take the money out of the equation.
Decriminalize all drugs?
All drugs. And control it, like you control tobacco and alcohol. And treat this as a public health issue, not a police issue. The war on drugs is lost. It was lost from the very beginning. It has done nothing to stop drugs. So what, we haven't learned anything in all these years?
Although when scholars look at the pros and cons of drug legalization, they say a pro is probably that you'll take a lot of violence out of the black market because the black market will go away. But a downside is that there probably will be more addiction because drugs will be more easily available.
What happened after the prohibition? Do we have more alcoholics or the same number of alcoholics?
I don't actually know the answer to that
question.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't make a difference. People who will be addicted even if you prohibit it or if they're available. For me, for example, alcohol is available everywhere, but I'm not alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And I can be living with someone who maybe is. So I don't think that that's a problem. Education, rehabilitation, control. We would be paying taxes for drugs. My stepson died 4 weeks ago because of a bad heroin patch. A patch that came from Colombia or wherever.
Heroin.
Maybe he would be alive if this was not criminalized.
I'm so sorry. Are they having this conversation in Chile or other Latin American countries that you know of, like we're having it in a serious way now about marijuana in this country with those referenda in Washington State and Colorado?
Yes. There are places where the conversation is going on, for example, in Mexico and in other places too. Well, marijuana should not be penalized. And the other drugs have to be very seriously controlled. But the corruption, guns, gangsters, dealers, mules, and all the horror of drugs can be taken away of the equation.
Isabel Allende, my guest on excuse me, on WNYC. Her new novel is called Maya's Notebook. Your work is often characterized as magical realism. Is that something you accept? Is that a title that you like or that you strive for?
Look, if magical is everything that we cannot control, exploit, sell, well, yeah, my novels could be magical. But it makes me a little annoyed that in the United States, everything that has to do with Latin America that is sort of unexplainable or a little weird is magical. And in the United States, we have psychics, astronomers, astrologers, crystals that you hang around your neck, all kinds of stuff. That's not magical. No. That's New Age.
That's New Age, but from Latin America is magical. Although American readers fall in love with it. They fell in love with Gabriel García Márquez's magical realism and other authors.
I think that magical realism is accepting that the world is a very mysterious place and things happen that we have no idea how they happen or why.
As one of the top-selling Spanish language authors, have you noticed a difference in the markets for your work? Are you more popular in one language than another or increasingly popular in Spanish among readers in the United States? I think you're the best-selling Spanish language author in this country ever, or maybe in Latin America too.
I have more readers in Spanish than in any other language because Spanish it's not only Spain, it's all of Latin America also. I'm very popular in Germany and Italy, and in the United States, I think comes like in fourth place.
Are there any other Spanish language novelists who you read actively or who you would want to recommend to our listeners can read in Spanish?
Read Mario Vargas Llosa, Antonio Skármeta, so many others. Sometimes it's very hard to find the translation.
And you told the New York Times that you have lots of dictionaries and that after living in the United States for 25 years, you write in something closer to Spanglish and you have to look up words sometimes, Spanish words in Spanish dictionaries. Did you consider writing this book in English?
You know, when I read the translation, I realized that the book sounds much better in English than in Spanish. And that's because the girl is American. She speaks English. She has the American slang. So obviously the book should have been written in English. And I should have written the book in the slang of my grandchildren. However, fiction happens in the belly, not in the brain. And I feel more comfortable in Spanish.
And do you do all your writing in Spanish? I'm so used to having seen your books in English that I don't even know if they're all translations.
They're all translations, but I can write nonfiction in English. Fiction, I don't know. Fiction is like dreaming.
And is this a story of immigration on any level, or would that impose a U.S. perspective, a U.S. political atmosphere on the novel too much?
Well, you can say that the fact that the grandmother is first a political refugee in Canada and then an immigrant in the United States. It's a little bit like my story. I've escaped from the military coup in Chile, from the dictatorship in Chile, and I ended up as a political refugee in Venezuela. Then I fell in lust with an American guy, and I ended up here as an immigrant.
In our last 30 seconds, Chiloé, this island off the coast of Chile in the south that you've mentioned, and it's a real place with a lot of real mythology where much of the book takes place in really 15 seconds. Should people fall in love with that place?
Yes, but don't expect paradise. But it's gorgeous.
Isabel Allende, her new novel, Maya's Notebook. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we go out with the French Chilean hip-hop artist, Anna Tihu, with her hit 1977, Anna Tijoux. No me diga no, que no lo presente. Todo lo que cambia lo hará diferente en el año.